You know, it just seems like we just can shut down everything, including our offense. Can't score 5-on-5, can't score power play, can't score shorthanded. And all the things that we've been talking about that the Sharks have been struggling with are coming to fruition, folks, and oh crap. Sharks lose a heartbreaker, 1-0 to the Edmonton Oilers. They now lead this series 2-1. Folks, if you thought this was going to be a quick series either way, no. However, the Sharks need to get their crap together pretty quick on Tuesday. Welcome to Teal Town After Dark. I am Eric Kura. You can check in with us and after every post-game show. And to be a part of the show, join us in the YouTube chat, either on the page or on the YouTube app. You can use the hashtag TealTownUSA, and we'll go through some of those comments throughout the show. You can also follow us on Twitter, all those addresses you just saw. You can also subscribe to this YouTube channel. We do this Interactive Sharks post-game show after every game. More news and info and opinions on the Sharks and Barracuda, make sure you hit up TealTownUSA.com and make sure you follow all of our social media channels. Hi, everyone. It is Puck Guy here. You can follow me on Twitter at PuckGuy14. Rocking, of course, the beautiful Teal Town USA shirt that you can get at BringHockeyBack.net. But enough about the shameless self-promotion. Let's say hello to the gang that really quick, say hello to AJ Strong.
For those of you who couldn't tell earlier, Rocket was using her LED bracelet to tap out in Morse code, fix the power play.
And checking in from beautiful San Diego, California, where the Goals might actually be having more playoff games than the Sharks at the moment, it's Eric Landy.
Hi, guys. Tough heartbreaker, but we'll break it all down and try and see if we can't get some people off the ledge here, including myself.
But first, let's check in with the lovely and talented Miss Rocket Backhander inside the usual Teal Town USA booth at the club bar.
I am at the Mars Vodka Bar at the club level inside SAP Center after a 1-0 loss to the Edmonton Oilers. What a sad game, but it was still exciting to be in town for game 3 of round 1 here in San Jose. I was great to see everyone in teal. There really were not that many Oilers fans here. I've been to at least 2 games this season during the regular season where there have been a lot more of the opposing team in attendance. The only thing I will say is that they've got a lot of enthusiasm and they brought their damn orange pom-poms with them.
As long as they didn't bring their that annoying horn, we're in good shape.
No, they didn't bring it.
Oh, good. So overall, the atmosphere was pretty, seemed like it was pretty loud, and there seemed like there was some rivaling chants throughout the night.
Yeah, I would say that the goal of the Sharks fan base basically was to just stay loud the entire time and not let the Oilers fans get a chant in edgewise, because it seemed like anytime the San Jose Sharks fans would start a cheer, Edmonton fans would find the quiet spot and insert their own, like, you know, cheer for the Oilers. So it became just this goal to just make as much noise and not give any space possible. It turned into a sort of like a cacophony, but it was fun to listen to because it started to keep a rhythm accidentally, like in between the opposing ends of the arena. And then it would just completely go all crazy again and then get back into sync and then go crazy. Oilers fans were pretty much well behaved. There was one guy who was holding a sign that said Brent Burns is a bum, and on the other side it said McJesus lives. Or, but I mean, if that's as rough as you're gonna get, like if that's as nasty as you're gonna be, that's fine. Like there was a bunch of Oilers fans outside front before the game started, and they were saying, "Let's go Oilers, Calgary sucks. Let's go Oilers, Calgary sucks." And I'm like, all right, I can deal with these guys. Like, these guys are, you know, like, they're going to be obnoxious. They haven't had a horse in the race for how long? A long time. And they're excited, and I don't want to be like, you know, rooting for them, but I understand their enthusiasm. I'm not going to shit on them for being enthusiastic. Right. And nobody I've met has been like a super douche dick bag. So that's cool. LA Kings fans still hold that, that distinction.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Good. That's good. And the swag you got tonight, you got a boatload of stuff for this first
game. Yeah. They gave me the keys to Mitsubishi. No, I'm kidding. It was a Nissan. Okay, so I got a bracelet, and hopefully
brought to you by Alaska Airlines.
Right. So hopefully, if I come back next week, they'll give you the matching earrings. And then I'll get a commemorative round one playoff ticket. That
awesome.
Yeah, I don't really know what I'm gonna do with this. It's a good bookmark. Some. And then they gave us all an extra large playoffs T-shirt.
Very nice.
Might have to work out a trade with Rocket at some point.
It's a small extra large. Like this, I don't know. You can take a look at it.
Okay.
It might fit you.
Or I look forward to getting my own at the next Turn Up and Teal event.
Oh.
Just kidding. Hey now.
Wow. Hey now.
Oh, wow. All right. So from the game standpoint, what did you take from it?
Oh, the first 20 minutes were the most amazing thing ever. Like, if we had gotten 60 minutes of that play, we would have won this game. Hands down, period. Number one. That's the thing. Like, if they would have kept that level of intensity in both their physicality, like their hits were amazing. If they had possession as like they did in the first period, it would have been amazing. Second period, they looked like second period Sharks. So I was like, okay, this is cool. They're going to come back in the third. And they just didn't. I attribute this to the guys being not 100% when they tried to come back from their injuries. I don't think that they have enough health to stay strong for 60 minutes. And I saw a really interesting opinion from Drew Weber on Twitter, and it said that they should basically just leave Sorensen, Meyer, and I think it was Tierney on the first power play unit. And I don't disagree with that at all. And I've kind of said that for a couple of weeks now, that they should just leave the kids up there because they seem to do well enough on their own. They shouldn't be messed with. But you got to put the vets up there and let the vets do their things, even though that, you know, Logan's got half of his face missing. Pavs is obviously something's wrong. And Jumbo is, you know, they basically just gave him Rafi Torres' his knee and was like, don't chew anything and you'll be all right. So I don't think that those three veterans injured make up for what they could. You know what I mean? Like, I just think they would have been better off leaving the younger kids on the power play. They're just too banged up.
Yeah. No, there's something's going on in it, and it's a combination of things. So
yeah.
Well, Rocket, thank you, my dear. I'm glad you had fun even despite the loss. And
yes. I did. Thank you very much to Leanne for giving me a wonderful view, and I had a lot of fun sitting next to her.
Yeah. So get home safe, stay dry, and we will see you soon. And also, by all means, check out Rocket Runs, our Instagram account. So by all means, like, comment, subscribe. She does a heck of a job for it. So, all right. Thanks, yep. Rocket. Appreciate it, hon.
All right, I'll see you guys later. Right. Go Sharks.
See you later,
Sharks.
Bye, Rocket.
All right. Whew. Okay, guys. So, Landy, I'll start with you. Your initial take from tonight's 1-0 loss to Edmonton.
Well, I mean, I think the overall defensive structure of the team looks decent. I mean, they only gave up two goals game two, only gave up one goal game one, one goal in game two goals in game one. So, I mean, overall, I mean, five goals in three games is not bad. I think right now, I think we all see it. It's the offensive depth of this team. It's just not there.
I was going to say, no goals in two games really sucks, though.
Right. Yeah. Offensively, it's just it's horrible. It's atrocious. And this team just can't score for the life of them. And this is the same issue that we saw during the regular season. It still looks like it's plagued them.
Yeah. AJ, good evening to you, sir. Your initial take as prepare for it.
My initial take is damn, this is a good looking comfortable shirt. But other than that,
meanwhile, Landy's like, when is it getting here?
The thing for me, it was like a tale of two periods where the opening period, the Sharks outshot Edmonton. They outhit Edmonton by a large margin in the first period. They looked like they were ready to play in the first. And in the second, the Oilers flipped the script and they got all the shots on goal. Only four shots on goal for the Sharks in the second period. And then they got out hit. And in the third, it seemed like early on the Sharks were trying to bring it back to what they did in the first and brought heavy hitting and had some more shots on goal at the beginning. But, just could not. They had some looks tonight. I mean, they did have some decent looks, just whether you want to call it puck luck or whatever. It was kind of a coin toss tonight. But the thing that just sits with me is, kind of what Landy was saying. This is six straight periods now of shutout hockey. When was the last time the Sharks, six straight periods of just shutout hockey, and not to mention the fact that 13 straight power plays with nothing to show for it. So, I heard that Sharky had my massively huge drum that he was beating on tonight for the power play, and it didn't work for him either. But, just two chances tonight for the Sharks, and they only gave up one to the Oilers, which was nice, but I mean, dear God, I just go back to game two and I just 0-for-6 on the fucking power play. And what a difference one goal really could have made in that game. But there it is. Yeah. So, basically, Tuesday night is, I hate to say it, and it's so trite, so cliche, but must win. Or, you go back to Edmonton and that's it.
We got the split on their home ice. Now Edmonton could do no worse than a split on our home ice, and things have been held serve. I think what really sucks and what really magnifies both the Jones five-hole goal and Slemko's just brain fart is that lack of scoring. And we've seen it all season. Defense certainly wins you championships, and defense certainly gets you far, but you still have to net a puck every once in a while. And this team cannot do it. And for the last two games, they've been completely shut out. Mind you, game two looked bad, and their shots on goal were horrible. Game three looked better, but still, it's just – they just cannot score. And I don't know that there is a fix for this. Maybe injecting LeBanc into the lineup might help you. It might not. I thought Timo Meier looked really good tonight. But again, where's Pavelski? Where's Burns? Thornton looked decent tonight. He had some shots on goal. I couldn't believe it. Couture is definitely not the same Couture. In my opinion, he shouldn't be out there. I think Hurdle he played very well in the first game, was invisible the second game, played decent tonight. Hansen looked decent tonight. And I think Sorensen's a little bit outclassed.
The first period, I was like, okay, the first line, the fourth line, they look good. And for the rest of the game after the first period, to me, it was all the third and the fourth line. Those are the guys that seem to be getting them more looks, had more energy. So it's, you just kind of go, man, where, and how many times do you hear that cliche saying of, in the biggest games, your biggest players have to be your biggest players. And right now the biggest players are definitely not the biggest players for the Sharks.
No, they're not.
But I will say, in trying to find a silver lining in this globbing huge pile of shit. you know what? For the most part, they have kind of taken McDavid out of this so far. They've played McDavid very, very well so far.
Right, right. And you would have thought that would have played in the Sharks' hands. And, you know, if somebody would have told me, hey, look, McDavid's going to have 2 points in three games, I would have said, sure, I would have taken that. And you would have thought, okay, our depth will really rule the day. Right. But right now, it's nowhere to be found. I mean, and Zach Kassian, I mean, he's got 3 goals.
God, I fucking hate the Canucks.
No, he's got,
and I hate former Canucks.
Two. He's got two, and they're both game-winning goals.
They're both game-winning goals. I mean, look, when Zach Kassian's got 2 goals in the series and they're both game winners, that's telling you something. You know, he's cleaned up his life. He's turned into a fairly decent player. I still don't like him. I don't like what has gone with him and the kind of baggage that went with him, but good on him for cleaning up. But that's telling you where this, you know, where the teams are being met, you know, as far as the depth goes for each set of teams. Right now, you know, you just wonder, okay, well, where's our depth, guys? Where's Hurdle? I mean, where is, I don't know. Where's Chris Tierney?
I thought Tierney had a couple of good looks tonight. Like I said, I think the bottom six for me had better scoring chances tonight than the top six. And I mean, just dear God, man, it's mind-numbing to look at this and to just wonder how the hell you can go how this team, especially Burns, can go 6 straight periods without getting a goal. And and of course you're going to get the people who go, well, you know what we need to do is we got to either bring in DeMello or Heed and put Burns to forward. Go fuck yourselves, okay? I mean, seriously. I'd like to see this team shaken up too, but I don't know that that's going to be the difference. But it's insane to see this team just go scoreless for that long. And, you know, they're on pace right now to be out relatively soon. Like, thank God we're doing the watch party on Thursday, because that might be it, kids.
I think going into this series, you know, it was going to be tough with 100% Burn or with 100% Couture and 100% Thornton. I mean, it was going to be a tough series, you know, either way. But this team was not firing on all cylinders going into the playoffs as far as an offensive standpoint goes. You saw game one, it looked like they might have flipped that switch. But game two, the script was completely flipped. And game three just devolved into a defensive stalemate. It was really who was going to make the first mistake, and the Sharks did. And let's just break down that goal right away, because, I mean, it was the only goal. I mean, you have Schlemko try and backhand the puck out.
This is known as an ill-advised pass.
Down, right up the gut. Right up the gut. And Kassian comes streaking in. I don't know if he was – if Schlemko just didn't see him, or if he felt like he was kind of – just kind of came out of nowhere, but whatever. Schlemko basically gives it dead away in the slot. Kassian, it was a great play. He took it on his backhand. Had a great backhanded shot. 5-hole again has plagued Martin Jones, and that's the game winner, and that is it. Sharks came very, very close to tying it up in that last minute, but just could not put one past him.
You take that shitty ass, you know, whatever the hell Schlemko was trying to do at that point, we could still be watching hockey right now.
I definitely agree. I mean, their defensive structure has been that good. It's just the offense. There's nowhere to be found.
Yeah, it's been an issue for the last half of the year. And guys, I'm gonna throw, and I hope you probably already know, but without looking on the websites for playoff stats, do you know who the leading point scorer is for the Sharks right now?
Carlson.
Mark Edward Vlasic with 2 points.
Feels like both Carlson.
Assists. That's your leading point score right now. I mean, it's for Jumbo, and we'll touch on Jumbo in a sec, but to have that's telltale. You know, you have Carlson with 1 point, Martin with his goal, Wardo with his goal, and then you have Pavelski with one assist, Donskoy with the one assist, and he's also a -3.
Before you keep breaking it down a little bit, I just want to shout out, we're passing 94 people watching the live stream, so I just want to say thank you to everybody, and please check us out, subscribe to us on our social media pages. You can check us out at Teal Town USA for all sorts of Sharks content, and you know what, even if this thing does go out in 5 games, 6 games, whatever it may be, we're going to have a lot of great stuff for the draft. And of course, if we have any kind of free agent frenzy coming up in July, we'll definitely take a look at that. So come check us out and please subscribe. There's a little red button down there. It helps us out and it helps get some more great content to you guys. Go ahead, Eric. Sorry.
This brought to you by Alaska Airlines. No, I'm kidding.
Well, it's better than United, right?
Let's wait till the second half of the show before we slide that way. No, bro, brought to you by Bring Hockey Back. These beautiful t-shirts.
Yes, Bring Hockey Back. You know, preferably the Sharks hockey that should be winning or scoring for that matter. So Joe Thornton takes on the warm-up. He's seen, you know, talking with Ray Tufts during warm-ups, which is something he, you know, you don't see him doing. And then we get the word that he's going to go. AJ, what did you think from Jumbo? Was it something that the Sharks could not have played without? He played 16:27, had 2.5 minutes of power play time, but didn't win any faceoffs.
Yeah, but the thing is, did he bring anything new? Was it, because we heard them talking about it on the pregame. Was there anything new on their power play? Granted, they only had two tonight, but did it make a difference from what we saw in the previous two games? And unfortunately for me, the answer, it's no. You know, the power play does not look any different. Steve Spott, I don't understand how this guy's still employed right now. Like, this is one of those things where you just, like, dump him to the fucking curb after the first two games when you were 1-for-12. I mean, just to go 0-for again, I'm sorry, what was your question? Thornton, yeah. I'm so laser focused on that. I mean, glad to see Thornton back, and if that was how you get Bodker out, because addition by subtraction, I was looking for something a bit more than what we got. Granted, like I said, in the first game or in the first period, the Sharks came out, they were banging, doubled the hits that Edmonton was throwing out. So they were playing a heavy physical game. They had, I think the shot counter was like 13-6 after the first. So, I mean, you're like 2-for-1 on the hits, 2-for-1 on the shots. I mean, you're out there, you're playing your game. You just cannot find puck luck and get it beyond Talbot. And right now, the thing that I'm worried about, the Sharks have to be just looking in the mirror going, how the fuck did we go 6 periods and not score a single goal on this guy? And it makes you wonder, kind of like what the LA Kings said a couple of years ago, where it's like, you can just see it in their eyes. They're scared right now because they can't fucking score.
Quickly from the chat, anybody know where SJ ranked in the power play during the regular season? That would be 25th overall in the regular season.
And William Vogel's saying, AJ, would you seriously let an assistant go in the middle of the playoffs? Would anybody notice if we did? I don't think so.
Yeah. No, I have a number of tweets and texts here, you know, saying that they look very tired, somewhat almost bored, you know, but they wish you had like some guy like Raffy to kind of light the fire. Let's see, what else do I have on here? You know, overarching theme of the night, I saw on and off the bench a lot of hunched over, gasping for air. They played a really good game to keep up with the Oilers' speed, and the Oilers changed their game a little bit. They weren't going all out hitting. They were pretending to be a little more disciplined tonight. Did that kind of reactionary play that the Sharks put on might have thrown off their mojo tonight?
No, I mean, I think for me, you're starting to see the Edmonton Oilers speed really tax the Sharks. I think, you know, the longer that this series goes, I think it favors Edmonton just because they are younger and fresher. And let's face it, this team has spent a lot of time playing hockey. I mean, they...
Which is one thing the Oilers have not done in quite some time.
right. I honestly think that the whole offseason, that this year was going to be tough for them to repeat. I mean, it was going to be very tough. I mean, and now you look at Chicago and the other series. They're down 2-0, and they could be down 3-0 tomorrow. And they've played a lot of hockey. The only aberration that you see is with Pittsburgh. And I just don't know how to say. I
explained it to you guys when we did our preview predictions. John Tortorella cannot have nice things.
even before they played Columbus, I mean, they were already on a good roll.
What fucking deal with the devil did the Penguins sign? I just gotta know, man.
Called Sidney Crosby's the greatest player ever. I am so sad that I had to do the St. Louis game and not do the game with Sidney Crosby and the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's just amazing what Sidney Crosby can do.
Seriously, though, I mean, look at Pittsburgh. They're like the polar opposite of San Jose. Like, those fucking guys, when it matters most, they show up. And right now, the Sharks are just their opposite of that.
All right.
I completely agree with you.
If we really want to break it down.
Uh-oh. Landy about to mic drop this shit. Everybody tune in, kids.
Yeah. If we really want to break this down, the Sharks last year played kind of a hybrid game, and it got them through the West. And I'll tell you how that hybrid kind of shakes out. They have enough speed to be faster than a St. Louis. They have enough speed to be faster than an L.A., they had enough speed to be faster than a Nashville. They did not have enough speed to play against a Pittsburgh team. Now, this year, it was more of the same, but augmented by what they thought was a little bit more speed in Schlemko and Bodker. And for the most part, even though Bodker's been a pretty big letdown, I'd say it definitely got them more speed. But they've lost a little bit of that kind of edge that they had last year that adapted their game so well. But I think now what you're starting to see with this crop of teams in the playoffs is a lot of speed. And you look specifically at Edmonton, you look at Nashville, who I think is now kind of gaining a little bit more speed with the PK Subban acquisition. And you look at who else is up in the West. I think you look at St. Louis, who also shed a lot of dead weight. And you look at how they're doing against Minnesota, and you kind of look at now the plotting teams. Well, you look at Minnesota against St. Louis, and Minnesota's definitely more of a plotting team. I think the only aberration that you can see out of this is Anaheim. But Anaheim has deceptive speed, and they kind of remind me a little bit of the makeup of the Sharks last year, where they did have those crunch-it forwards, but they have a lot of speed there too, guys. I mean, they have augmented a lot, and their back end is very speedy. So I really honestly think that the Sharks are 1 year behind in their kind of speed rebuild. And I think it's just really showing them this series in particular was going to be very hard for them, a very hard matchup. Like them against Anaheim, it would have been a little bit more fair, a little bit more on the same terms. But this series, this was going to be a hard draw. And that Calgary, if they would have played Calgary, it would have been a hard draw as well.
Definitely. We want to welcome those of you who finished watching post-game live on NBC Sports California. This is Teal Town After Dark following a 1-0 Edmonton victory over the San Jose Sharks. Please make sure to subscribe down below or to the side wherever you're watching us, and make sure you hit up tealtownusa.com for all your Sharks and Barracuda information. Also, if you're liking the shirts that yours truly and AJ are rocking, by all means hit ringhockeyback.net and they'll get you set up for one.
They're so comfortable.
And they are nice and comfortable. But most importantly, thank you for joining us. We do this after every game, and we appreciate your support. Back to you, Landy.
Yeah, and you know what? Just kind of quickly breaking down, somebody's asking, well, where's the speed in the system? I think you're starting to see guys like Timo Meier, Kevin LeBanc. I think you also see a little bit of the defense in Bergman, and I think Tim Head. But again, I mean, people are also saying, well, you can't be fast with a Pavelski in your lineup. You can't be fast with a Thornton in your lineup. That is all true. And you know what? If you're going to have a top-line winger or a top-line centerman, you can only have so many slow guys before it really starts to break down. And I think that's why you're really missing Logan right now, to be quite honest, because, you know, he's just not making plays at his normal speed, which is faster than most others in the game.
Yeah. No, I completely agree.
And I like the game that Timo's had so far.
Agreed. Timo Meier has been playing a very physical game. I wish he could finish. You know what, guys? I mean, there has been some point blank shots that he should just needs to get through people, but he just keeps finding bodies, or he keeps finding skates, or he keeps finding an errant stick, and is just not getting those shots on goal. So I just, you know, that's just going to take some time. But you know, I'm pleased overall to see it. Look, if the Sharks tie it up 2-2 going in on Thursday, or going into Thursday, it's still going to be an uphill battle for this team. And
Rob in the chat asking, do you play LeBanc in game 4?
Hang on, before you answer that, it's a very interesting situation because the Barracuda don't start till what? Saturday?
Well, who gives a shit about
No, what I'm saying is you have twice the people you can call up to play in on Tuesday.
Yeah, but I mean, realistically, who are you going to take out? I mean,
that's exactly. Who does he replace at this point?
I think you could take Sorensen out and put LeBanc in, although Sorensen had a decent game. I felt in game 3, this game, he was getting pushed around a little bit, and then you just kind of worry about a Kevin LeBanc being pushed around as well. I mean, when you've got a Cassian deployed on one line, you've got a Draisaitl deployed on another. I mean, those are two big guys. Yeah, then you have Lucic just kind of running around being Lucic. It's a lot of beef. It's a lot of beef, and you're wondering if these guys are going to get pushed off the puck.
Maybe, and I hate to say it, I mean, maybe you Jimmy the centers a little bit. Maybe Couture's the one that you take out. I mean, the guy has not played well for 3 games.
Who would expect
him to with a, you know, fucking meth head grill right now?
Yeah, no, I mean, look, total props to the kid for playing through what he's playing through. I mean, it is a Herculean effort, but at what point do you say, you know what, it's better for my team if I don't play?
No, hold on, in the chat real fast. Phil, give me a break, man. Show me one team ever that is going to care more about their minor league team than their major league team. Like, I think Phil was a little upset where I was like, who gives a shit about the Barracuda? The Barracuda is there to feed the Sharks system. That's what it's there for. Every one of those guys on the Cuda want to be playing for the Sharks right now. So it wasn't a slam on the Cuda. It's, you know, that's what they're there for. So let's not get into this.
There's a couple names that I will throw out there, though. A Barkley Goodrow seems very – he seems like a type of player that might excel in this game because he's quick and he's pretty big. Kind of going through it. I mean, Ryan Carpenter, who else would be really suited for this game? I think maybe a Rorik Chartier. He's a little bit on the smaller side, or an Alex Shaborn. But right now, these guys aren't ready. I mean, really, the only guys that are really ready are Gaudreau and LeBanc. Those are the only two that I trust in playoff games right now.
But yeah, it's tough. Like Mike says in the chat, you need a guy that can stick his nose in uncomfortable places. However, he says, so take any current forward off of the team and replace them. I don't think you do that, though. And I don't think you put Couture, I don't think you sit Couture out if he's, unless he's not breathing or walking or skating properly, he's going to play.
True. Quickly, just want to throw up there, 112 viewers. I mean, this is awesome, 113 guys.
Now. This is fantastic.
113. This is probably the most that we've ever had in the show. Please subscribe. I mean, honestly, it really does help us out. We want to try and push 500 subscribers by the end of this postseason, and really just continue to deliver that great content. This is like a freaking infomercial drive, you know, a pledge drive, but... Back to you,
and you know what? You know what we should do is like whoever the 500 subscriber is, it's like you get your own very nice Teal Town USA shirt.
All right,
which you cannot see right now because okay, there it is.
There it is.
and you will pay for it too. So that's just for them.
It's okay, man. Bring hockey back, baby.
So give me one thing. Okay, here I'll ask you these two questions. I'll start with you, Landy, and we'll play a game called pick your poison, we'll call it.
Okay.
All right. Question number one. If you're going to put someone else in, who is it and who are they going to take out?
Let me take a look. I want to take a look at what the
Well, then can I go?
Yeah, you go.
Go ahead.
AJ. I want to do this somewhat scientifically.
If I'm going to take anybody, because I'm not putting Bodker back in, honestly, I'd consider just taking Couture out, and I hate to say that, but take out Couture, bump Hurdle up, bump Tierney up, and slot in O'Regan.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
Because he's the last guy to unlock the power play. I mean, just come on, and it's there's just got to be something. They gotta switch up something, man. But I don't think it's gonna be enough, to be honest with you. I think this team is just gassed right now. They have played a shit ton of hockey, and the guys that you're really looking at the most, you know, your Burns and Vlasic and Pavelski and Thornton, fucking, you know, worlds. The playoffs, worlds, that's a shit ton of hockey, man. These guys are guests. Pavelski has looked slow all three games. Vlasic, God love him, he's done his part. We talked about it before the beginning of the series that he needs to be one of the key guys to shut down McDavid. And for the most part, McDavid has been shut down. He has, what, one goal in this? Shorty? Am I right on that?
I'm sorry, say that again?
McDavid has one goal, and it was a shorthanded.
Correct, among us, sir.
Yeah. So, and he had a projected over under of 7 points in this game, and right now I think he has two. So, two, maybe three. I think it's two. Yeah. So, I mean, right now that's they're doing their job with that regard. But I mean, honestly, it's that whole idea of what can you actually change at this point that's going to be significant, other than, like, I don't know, hiring Scotty Bowman to do a full power play session tomorrow and all day. I don't know.
I'll kind of jump in now. I would take out Sorensen and I would put in Gaudreau, and then what I would do is then align Hurdle with Timo and Gaudreau. Kind of just have a battering line, third line. I would put...
Chester saying, start Dell, put Jones at forward. That's kind of crazy.
yes, that's exactly what we need to do in a critical game four, is get too crazy.
I would put Logan with Jonas and with Marlow. And then for that fourth line, I'd put Tierney with Ward and Hansen. It's amazing.
Just amazing. A few weeks ago, everybody's talking about slotting in Hansen with Thornton and Pavelski, and now he's relegated to the fourth line.
Well, I mean, honestly, Hansen looked the best there. I mean, he did unlock the Joes.
A few weeks ago, everybody's.
But right now, I don't know that Jumbo and Pavs are quick enough to keep up with these with the Edmonton Oilers.
Which leads to my question next. Is it time to reunite the Joes with Hurdle?
They tried that. They tried that tonight. During the second period. Hurdle was taking his shifts with Joe and Joe. Actually, it was the third period. I think it was the 17-minute mark, 15-minute mark. Because there was no offense. And Hurdle just, his game looks faster than the Joes. Honestly, like, honest to God. Maybe it's time to split the Joes apart and try and split the slowness around.
And that's my suggestion, was to split the Joes apart. Since
I don't think you get uber crazy here. They lost by one fluky goal tonight. And everything else, for the most part, they were doing right, just a little bit of puck luck. I don't think you can get uber crazy here. You make one like small tweak, you don't go, you know, just fucking full blown, you know, let's just throw all this shit at the wall and we'll take credit for whatever sticks. We just hit a new record, 118 watching right now. Thank you very much for that. And I want to remind you guys that we're actually doing a watch party on Thursday at IBU Tap Room. There is a pizza place next door too, so you can like load up if you're going to enjoy some of the awesome, Chris will put it, follow Chris JWS, he'll put up how many beers they have on tap, but it's a ridiculous menu. IBU Tap Room for Game 4 on Thursday, we're doing a watch party there, and we will have some cool giveaways.
We are now at 120 viewers.
So we might have one of these to give out. If somebody's really, really nice to Puck Guy, we might have one of these to hand out.
What do you mean, nice to Puck Guy?
I thought you were shirt guru. I don't know.
Just FYI, we are now at 483 subscribers.
Thank you very much.
So, 17 subscribers away from 500. We will figure out who the 500th subscriber is, and we will get you a shirt.
It feels like one of us should have MS the way we're doing this
right now. Oh my God, you guys. Why don't you guys freak out your freaking weirdo sweaters or your denim tops and go, "Hi, Billy Mays here for Teal Town After Dark.
122.
Okay, Andy. Sheesh. I'm so sorry. So since AJ's taking a moment here, let's go around the league here as the playoffs continued on this Easter Sunday. And by the way, happy Easter to all of you and
also Mr. Chivo currently unsubscribing so I can get a free shirt.
Yeah, see, that's why I didn't want you to do that. Jeez.
No, an unsubscribe and a resubscribe will not get you a shirt.
No, just don't, guys. Don't.
Gruesome, Chester Chivo, we're talking to you. Mike Hackle, you too.
Yes. And like Gentry just messaged in our After Dark chat, I started from the bottom, now I'm here. Yeah, absolutely. What started out 3 years ago is just a nice little casually walk back from the arena to San Pedro Square has turned into this. This is crazy. So by all means, thank you so much. But now let's get around the league. Hold on.
No, somebody just asking if they can unsubscribe and then resubscribe.
Just to get
a freebie. You know, I don't know about that. But come down to the watch party. Maybe you end up with one of these beauts.
Ooh.
That's all I'm saying.
Ooh.
You know, come on.
That would require yours truly to be at the watch party.
When I said one of these beauts, I was holding up these, bro.
I was focusing on the scores. All right, so let's go around the league here. There were four games in the NHL playoffs tonight or earlier today. In Columbus, the Jackets are on the verge of being eliminated pretty quickly by the Penguins. The Penguins win 5-4 over the Neon Buggers. Pens lead the series 3-0. Jake Guentzel with a hat trick and with the game-winning goal, 13-10 into overtime. What a crushing blow, guys, for the Blue Jackets, who had a wonderful regular season, had that real winning streak. But it looks like they are, unless they pull a reverse sweep, they are at the end of their line.
Oh, and I don't know if anybody saw out there. I mean, it's been posted all over the place. But Zach Marensky, that kid, real tough trooper, real tough trooper. So, you know what? I mean, these guys look.
For I'm not saying he makes Couture look like a piker, but yeah.
But, you know. Hang on, I'll pull it up.
Yeah, it's pretty graphic. So as Puck Guy's doing that, we'll go over to the other game that was played. Well, two other games that were played tonight, but Montreal played against the New York Rangers. Montreal wins 3-1, and now lead the series 2-1. Lehtinen, Arturi Lehtinen with one goal, Weber with second goal, and Radulov with a third goal. And that Radulov goal was something special. I mean, that kid has some serious talent, and hopefully he's gotten his head out of his butt. So, you know, because he is a real treat to see in the NHL. And then, of course, the Rags get a goal in the third period with 3 minutes left.
Here you go, guys. Here's Zach Werenski afterwards.
It's quite graphic, so if you guys don't like seeing blood and black eyes, please.
They all watch hockey, man. It's cool.
That guy, so. that kid, very, very, very tough trooper.
Okay. Chester Chiva wanting to know if there'll be buttons at the viewing party.
Oh, my God.
I can neither confirm or deny.
I can't get the buttons that quickly. I'm sorry.
Oh, you don't have any leftovers?
No. Oh, all right. And then the Minnesota St. Louis series. I mean, guys, I don't know if you are at all surprised at this, but Minnesota has not put up a fight, and they do not look good.
Puck guy pick that. I-N-N. Oh, my Lord. More like O-U-T.
I believe I picked Minnesota as well. And I said
oh, I picked Minnesota. It's just that Eric picks them every opportunity he gets.
I do not.
It dude, just, Minnesota their wad in February, did they not?
Yeah, they did.
but where did St. Louis come from? I mean, here we are talking about how St. Louis, will they even make the playoffs? Will you know, oh, they just traded Shattenkirk. What are they going to do now? What on the earth is going to happen? Well, this is the end of the road for the Blues. And then all of a sudden, they're on the verge of sweeping Minnesota.
Kevin Lacey's saying, the curse of Martin Hansel. You thought I was kidding.
That's very true.
Honestly, guys, I mean, I think that this is probably one of the worst, like, playoff appearances by them ever.
It's bad.
And I even think it kind of overshadows the reverse sweep, even though that will never be overshadowed.
But weren't people just, like, a month or month and a half ago talking about Talbot and Dubnyk would probably be going for the Vezina?
Yeah, yeah.
Weren't we a month or so ago talking about how Burns was a lock for the Norris?
Well, we were also talking about a month or so ago, that the Sharks, who were the Sharks going to face since they were going to win the division?
Right, right. So, quickly exactly. Kind of drilling down into the other series, Anaheim and Calgary, the Ducks lead 2-0 in that series.
I'm so pissed off about
Chicago
that.
And Nashville, the only person to take Nashville in our pool. Predators lead 2-0 on Chicago. Washington and Toronto, this one's kind of an interesting one, but that series is tied up 1-1. Both times have gone to overtime.
Kasperi Kapanen with the double OT winner last night.
And Ottawa and Boston are both tied at 1.
Do not poke the bear and talk about the Rangers, okay? Don't poke the bear.
We already got through the Rangers.
Yeah, I'm just saying, don't.
We won't.
Don't,
we won't. The Dion Phaneuf overtime winner the other day, or yesterday, against Boston.
And I think Toronto looks a lot better than a lot of people gave them credit for, especially me.
No, and you know what? Toronto is a good scoring team, but the problem with them is when they have two goal leads, they just can't keep them.
Exactly. So
well, those are the most dangerous leads to have in hockey.
So Toronto either hang on by a thread or annihilate, and you got it.
Somebody picking a Pens Ducks finals, that doesn't look bad, but I would maybe go St. Louis.
Well, the weird thing here too is they're talking about a different series. They're asking how short Crawford's leash will be tomorrow. I don't know about you. Brandon Crawford has played great at shortstop for the Giants so far, so I don't understand what you're talking about. I'm just saying.
Corey Crawford, I mean, he's known to have bouts of really bad play in the first round. I mean, there was a Scott Darling that saved the day when on a run to a Stanley Cup, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And he has no safety blanket. So, you know what? I mean, their option in backup is not great. Somebody asking if we think the Sharks will go away from Jones. I don't think so. Peter DeBoer is just too damn stubborn. And Jones hasn't played that bad, but he's given up some crappy ones. He's given up some crappy ones for sure. But, I mean, what else? I mean,
it's turning out to be a very nice series, or a very nice playoff. Although the Sharks Oilers are the only one that has both teams have getting a win in the series. So,
But there's a lot of 2-0s and 3-0s. I mean, there's three 2-0 and 3-0 series. Four. Pittsburgh, Columbus, Chicago, Nashville, Minnesota, St. Louis, and Anaheim, Calgary. I mean, that's a little crazy. I mean, we don't normally see that.
The Rangers will make this right.
I think that Rangers Montreal series definitely has 7 written on it. I think that Ottawa Boston series has 7 written on it. I think both of those teams are pretty bad.
And they should feel bad.
And they should feel bad.
I took Boston in 6. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I took Boston in 7, so I don't know. But I think Washington-Toronto, you got to think Washington's going to win this in 6.
I don't know, man.
Toronto comes out and just takes control tomorrow night against the Leafs.
And Toronto could have very easily.
You mean Toronto takes out the Leafs?
Toronto could have very, very easily taken one of those games.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's the crazy thing is that Toronto Washington series both have been super, super. Super, super close, and it shouldn't even be that way. I mean, Washington is such a juggernaut. It's them always playing with their food in the first round. I mean, it happened last year when they played Philadelphia. It happens every single time, and that's what does them in. That's what does them in.
Sharks East.
Sharks East.
No kidding. One thing I can share with you guys, and I believe this is an exclusive from our good friend Patrick Hooper within the Sharks organization. I can reveal the design of the rally towel that'll be out on Tuesday. And there it is, folks. That's the rally towel that every fan will be getting, along with your wristband. Make sure you get to the get inside early because of the pregame show. I know there's some that were there tonight and were already seeing epic work.
I was going to say, give it up to whatever 8-year-old drew that, because that's pretty awesome.
EJ. Oh, my God.
I'm just goofing.
Alberta is landlocked from Patrick M.
And you know what? He's got a damn good point.
Quickly, because let's be honest, there's nothing else to bitch about at this point. We all saw the giveaways tonight. There was the LED bracelet that they did, of course, last season. The ticket, I thought, was a very nice touch. I thought it could have looked more like a ticket rather than like a little placard, but either way, I thought that was a cool touch. The shirt design tonight, I don't know. I saw a lot of people that were kind of, they were very much either very take it or very leave it. Either of you guys have any opinion on that? Because I got to be honest with you, that towel that you just showed, I don't know. I would expect something a little, I don't know, like more photographic and less artwork.
I mean, I don't know. I kind of like that look to me. I mean,
it's kind of repeating the look that they kind of were rolling with last year.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, it translates better to a towel than that photographic realistic look.
Well, I was gonna say, I wasn't a big fan of the shirt designs for the Penguin series either, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I thought they knocked it out of the park the first three series. Fourth one, I think they looked like they were starting to run out of cool ideas or something. But you know, it's all subjective BS. So you know, it's like, oh, it's, you know, first world problems. Let me tell you how bad this nice free shirt is.
Right? Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. You know, Chris is kind of having a little contest in the chat right now. He looked at the...
oh, Jesus Christ.
So in memory of setting a new viewership record, I just looked up what our peak viewer for broadcast number one was. Do you guys happen to know, without looking the chat?
What?
Three,
yeah.
What?
Three. Because Jessica just said it.
That's awesome.
We had three live. We had a peak of three live viewers.
Was that included? Was that
show,
was that
first live show?
Was that including us?
Yeah, I was gonna say it probably watching. Was.
Probably.
And I had two. And I had two different browsers open.
Right? Yes.
I was signed in as both Pucknology and AJ Strong.
Yes. Exactly. Absolutely. All right. So. So you're getting a towel, you're getting the wristband, and the light show before the game.
But, I did. I saw somebody tweet out a picture of a black towel tonight, and I didn't see that from anybody else. And it said it had the playoffs 2017 logo on it, and it was a black towel. And I'm like,
maybe it was a giveaway outside.
Oh,
at the street rally.
Maybe.
Okay, I'm watching the Oilers thing on Twitter, and oh my god, those mutton chops are so bad.
Oh, Cassian?
Oh my god, it's
so
bad.
The reverse goatee?
Yeah, it's so bad. It looks like...
That's a sweet look right now.
He looks like a toothless Abe Lincoln.
You know what, though? the fucker's doing what the Sharks aren't doing, and that's putting one in the net.
So who's with me? It says...
That's what you do. Burns and Thornton need to shave tomorrow.
Exactly. Yeah.
Ian saying that black towel I was referencing was for 365ers only. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. It's been crazy. It's been fun. But, again, it's game three. You're down 2-1.
Yeah,
you got to show up for game four, though.
Yeah, you don't
have to show up for game four because otherwise you're setting it up for being a massive epic party in Edmonton on Thursday night, and that's the last thing you want to do.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, look, you win on Tuesday, and the series gets tied up again. You know, you don't lose the series in game four, and you lost by one goal tonight. I mean, look, you can overreact and try and put in a new player, or you can go with the same thing that got you here. Either way, I mean, you know, minimal changes, fringe changes, because the defensive game shutting down Connor McDavid has been really, really good.
It was bad enough tonight. Our friend Alden Tanaka saying when the crowd at the tank starts chanting, shoot the puck, you'd think the team and the coaches might get the hint.
Well, the one thing that made me go off was like with a minute left in the game, Pavelski has a chance where he can just scoot through the defense and get a shot on goal. No, he's in the middle, like near the hash marks in the middle of the attacking zone, and then he drop passes it back to Hurdle in the zone in that point. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? Take more chances. Don't have them get it up to Hurdle to rim it around to Joe Thornton, you know. I mean, because it's not like that's been predictive the whole time he's been in San Jose.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we should probably do prediction time and start to wrap this thing up, because Absolutely. The 60-minute mark is always the magic mark for us.
Did you, Chester Chivo, buy a Teal Town USA shirt or you'll be forced to watch the last two games on a loop?
Well, that's not that bad.
Oh, that's funny.
So, I mean, I think if anything, if we were to threaten anybody, we'd make them watch Game 7 against L.A.
Oh, God, no. No.
And see, there you go. All right.
No. No, that's a race. That's a race for my memory. That never happened.
So, prediction time. AJ, what are you predicting for Tuesday night?
I mean, it's like I have to come up with like a single prediction, or you want like a score? What are you looking for here?
Whatever you want to say.
I'm going to say that you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say the Sharks win game four. And you know me, not the most optimistic guy on the planet lately. I'm going to go out and say the Sharks win game four because, like I said, tonight they lost on a fluke. And if they can come out and play a very similar game that they played tonight, I think they can get the win. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that they win game four. And this is what's really going to bake your noodle. The game winner, what will end up being the game winner, is a power play goal for the Sharks.
Yeah, I'm also with AJ on the similar vein. I think they win game four, and I think the offense wakes up. I'm going to say the Sharks are going to win 2-0. I think 2-0 or 2-1, and again, that power play is going to click.
I say 3-1. The second goal is the Sharks game, or is the game-winning goal. There's a power play goal, and then Sharks get an empty netter, probably from Tierney, because why not?
A 0 1 2 3 4 5 Ian injures McDavid and gets a lifetime ban from the NHL.
Oh, don't give him ideas. I mean, he's in the stew. He's just across the way from Michigan, and we all know what happened with Michigan when there was ice skating festival at the Joe like 20 some odd years ago. Why? Anyways, for me, Sharks, well, because I'm going to this game and it's going to torture myself. Sharks win 3-2 in the first double overtime game at the Shark Tank.
Oh, double overtime.
Oh my God, are you asking for a heart attack?
I went through 93 and I went through 2014.
Do we have to change the name of the show then to like Teal Town the next day?
Good morning, Teal Town.
Teal Town, the next generation.
Yes.
Teal Town before morning, before dawn.
So, oh, Jesus. Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, all right, Eric.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah, take us home.
So thank you to all of you who joined us. We truly appreciate everything you've done. Just for that, because it hasn't worked out. Games, lost two games. Eric Landy is now going to clean up his room. So
I am.
It hasn't been working the last two games.
I will.
For that matter, I need to clean up my
room. Drive a Zamboni through that fucking place.
Shit, just burn it down. Just burn it down. We'll start from scratch.
That might be coming on Thursday's show if the Sharks can't win the next two. With that, the Sharks lose 1-0 to the Edmonton Oilers. They play again Tuesday night, 7:00 start. Nationally can be seen on NBCSN in beautiful Canada on CBC and locally on NBC Sports or NBC Sports California, powered by Xfinity. Can they make that name any longer? Come on, Brody, let's talk this out. And please make sure you subscribe down below or to the site if you haven't already. And my gosh, thank you so much. I can't believe this has gone on and gone crazy like we have gone on, and it's amazing. And make sure you hit up Teal Town USA for all your Sharks news and opinions. The writers have been taking up their game to the next level. There was a Teal Tinted Glasses that talked a lot about the Barracuda, which started their playoff series Saturday. Started their series Friday night at the Shark Tank against Stockton Heat. So make sure you get your tickets there. Plenty of tickets still available. And of course, make sure you get one of these beautiful Teal Town USA shirts. Obviously not graciously modeled from me. Yes, Mr. Strong, your fingers up.
And come to our watch party for game four game five on Thursday. And Puck Guy talking about Barracuda Heat. We'll have two tickets for the Barracuda playoff game.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Eric. Sign us off.
So until Tuesday, keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real, teal. We will see you following the game, and I'll be at the game. So find me and say hi. Have a good night.